Yes, ma'am.
Would you talk a little bit about what you think the general Quaker understanding is of the Lamb's War?
Yes. I'll tell you the way I think of it, okay? Because it's changed a whole lot. Friends have believed in the power of God to correct all things, to restore all creation to that perfection which we understand it was in as God created. Important theological question right there. God's power is greater than that of evil, of sin, of humanity. We as individuals are called and empowered and enabled to participate in that restoration. It happens only through struggle, faithfulness, necessary suffering. It is, in fact, a war between opposing forces as serious and as deadly as any war that humans may embark upon against each other or conceive of. But our weapons in this war are not outward weapons, but in fact the spiritual weapons with which we are equipped through God's intervention and presence in our lives. And it is characterized as the war of the Lamb that was slain in Revelation. In other words, Christ is the Lamb who gave himself that we might have life and that this restoration might happen. So we fight the war of the Lamb, not the war of the sword or the war of the empire, war to end all wars. We fight the Lamb's war. Now, I know I just raised a huge atonement issue, but we'll set that one aside. We'll go there tonight. But I will go, if someone wants to talk about that later on. But is that helpful?
Yes. And then does that relate to the idea of bringing in the kingdom, fighting the Lamb's war, helping to bring in the kingdom?
Absolutely, because friends believe that, in fact, they could bring in the kingdom. And so if one compares them, for example, with the Baptists, who said there was, at that time, in the 17th century, that there was total depravity and no one could be holy, no one could be pure, you were trapped in sin. The Quakers said, that's preaching up sin. That's saying that sin is more powerful than Christ. And the Quakers said, no, Christ is more powerful. Christ, in some ways, has already won the victory, but certainly will restore the world if we're faithful in the Lamb's war.
So I might be following you into that atonement place you don't want to go.
No, that's all right.
So is what Christ contributes to this reconciliation self-sacrifice? Is he modeling that for us?
Or? Yes, but I don't want to go to that he died for us.
Right,
I think the fact, my sense of God, of Christ's sacrifice is that Christ lived for us.
Okay.
In other words, did not think, as Philippians says, did not think of equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and became human, which is quite a sacrifice right there. And then modeled for us how it is that you live a life in harmony with God and how you begin to bring about the kingdom and then suffered what the dominant culture is going to do to anybody who tries to live that way. In other words, I think Jesus Christ came into the world to live. Not that he came into the world to die. But the fact was inevitable that anybody who lives that pure a life
in this world
will be killed one way or another. So I mean, that may be a fine distinction, but it's an important one to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Christ's death, but it's Christ's life.
Thank you.
I can believe God cares because Jesus had a bad back too.